Hey there, welcome to the Five by the Fire podcast. I'm your host, Armand Sheffy, aka Pastor Fury, and I'm the executive director of the Unshackled Network, a family of missionaries innovating ways to help those in the shadows of Lake County and beyond experience freedom in Jesus. And in this podcast, we take a look at a passage from the day's reading in the McShane Bible Reading Plan, and we dive in for about 5 to 7 minutes. So grab a cup of coffee, cozy up like we're by the fire, and let's chat. This is Five by the Fire. And today we read Exodus 1, Luke 4, Job 18, and 1 Corinthians 5. But today I want to look mostly at Luke 4 and discuss Jesus' preparation for and launching into ministry. I mean, one of my favorite, actually one of those passages that inspired me as I launched out into the Unshackled Network comes from Luke 4, as Jesus is quoting Isaiah and says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor." I mean, come on. But we won't have time to get into that today. We actually have a lot to cover today. Might be a little bit longer, so I want to apologize. But let's look at Luke 4 and comparing the way that John the Baptist was raised in the wilderness before the word of God came to him to go and preach. John baptized Jesus, and then the Spirit of God sent him, Jesus, into the wilderness, where he fasted for 40 days and was tempted by the devil. We discussed the temptation in greater detail back on day 4's episode entitled "It Is Written." While the text definitely spends more time discussing the temptation, I'd like to slow down and focus on the 40 days prior to the preparation. I mean, in Jesus' case, here it was a preparation marked by fasting. Historically, as a Jewish practice, fasting is a way to atone for sins and is a habitual practice of the righteous. It can also be seen as a way to prepare oneself to connect deeper with God. Moses fasts to prepare to meet with God, which we will read about in Exodus soon. Ezra fasted, preparing to receive revelations from God, which we read about in Ezra. And now Jesus fasts in a time of preparation before beginning his ministry. But I wonder if the fast may have also served clearly as a strengthening and testing ground to equip him to deal with temptations throughout his ministry, which we see the Pharisees specifically like to tempt him often. I've often read, though, the stories of this wilderness temptation as the devil waiting for Jesus to be at his weakest and then strikes, right? Because the devil likes to do that. But upon further reflection, that actually seems an error. While that may have been what the devil's thought was, if I simply reflect on what fasting does for us spiritually, it weakens the flesh's hold on us through the ways that we normally would feed our flesh. When we fast, we're not in a weakened state, however. We are clearly stronger spiritually and better able to face off with the enemy if we're doing fasting correctly, tightly connecting with the Lord. Thinking that the devil found Jesus at his weakness is actually a worldly perspective that I must correct in me. Self-correction, reflection, confronting our sinfulness, remembering our mortality, and giving thanks for the gift of salvation we received through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. These are the things that we should make priorities as we fast. Many of you have in the past or are currently observing the season of Lent. As of this recording, yesterday was what many would call Ash Wednesday, which is the official beginning of the 40-day season of fasting known as Lent. The 40 days is a symbolic number, like that of the 40 days that Jesus fasted and the 40 years the Israelites were in the wilderness during their Exodus. The days of Lent are actually 46 days, and they're actually marked out as every day from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday, except the Sundays, including Easter, are suspended days of fasting where you're no longer fasting because you're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. So that's where you get the 40 days from. Now, there are also many who do not practice what has become known as the Christian calendar, which includes Ash Wednesday and Easter. But similarly to Easter, they would celebrate what Jesus himself did, Passover. And we're going to discuss that practice in much more detail as we read some of those related texts later on in the year. But like Lent is preparation for Easter, preparing for Passover was also a big deal for Jews. They needed to be sure that their homes were ready and that all yeast was removed, as yeast was symbolic of sin. In both cases, this was a time to get their literal homes and spiritual homes, our bodies and our souls, ready. So here's our question. Is your house in order? In a similar way, Paul, in our reading today in 1 Corinthians 5, asks us to be sure our house is in order. He says, "Purge from among you those who do evil." He goes in hard, y'all, against sexual immorality among them, but also those of a number of sins, including greed, idolatry, like the thieves and the drunks. He says in verse 6, he says, "Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump?" What? See, they were talking about that yeast again. "Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." And then he goes on in verse 12. He says, "For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you." Don't you love how God is aligning these passages in such a way that they're speaking a unified truth? So as we get ready for Easter or Passover, get your house in order. Get your eyes off of the world and all of their evils for a bit. Look at your own heart. Look at your own soul. Look at your own house or your church family. These are our places of responsibility, and it's time to remove the yeast. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us these times to pause, to reflect, to repent, to remove any of the yeast from within us and from among us, Lord God. Help us to do the work courageously, empowered by you. And we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, head on over to 5bythefire.org. Leave comments, anything you want to share over there. Make sure you're checking out the reading plan. Subscribe, rate, and share. And I'll see you back here tomorrow on 5 by the Fire. Be blessed and be a blessing.